Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Kuttner, who is the co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect. He was formerly an assistant to the legendary I.F. Stone, a chief investigator for the Senate Banking Committee, and for 20 years wrote a column for Business Week. Robert Kuttner is the author of 9 books, including his latest, Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity versus Possibility. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, The Democrats' Obama Problem. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Kuttner.
Ian, always a pleasure, and you're leaving out the best part, former station manager of Pacifica Radio New York.
Well, we may need you back. The network's in trouble. So, Robert, the president himself recently spoke out and, you know, in a kind of hand-wringing way, suggested that in terms of these upcoming midterms, the Democrats were being lazy. So do they see a Republican freight train barreling down the track towards them?
Well, the 6 year of a presidential incumbency is always bad for the president's party in Congress, because the voters are a little fed up. And if you go back through American history, the only exception in the past century to the pattern of the president's party losing seats in Congress is 98, Clinton's sixth year, also the year of Monica, because the Republicans overreached with the impeachment and there was a backlash against the Republicans. So the Democrats actually gained a few seats. So, number one, the deck is kind of stacked against the Democrats. Number two, it's a particularly bad year just by the luck of the draw for the Senate seats held by Democrats in swing states or conservative states. That's not totally luck of the draw, because a lot of those Democrats got in on Obama's coattails 6 years ago when he was elected president. But it's worse than usual in terms of 7 or 8 Democrats being vulnerable. And if 5 lose, it's a tie, and Vice President Biden breaks the tie. If 6 lose, the Republicans take control of the Senate. So there's that. Then there is the Obamacare fiasco, and the fact that Obama himself has seemed like kind of a feckless leader. He got into bed with the austerity people, and only in the past few months has he been making serious noises about we got to do something about wages. And most folks think that that's the result of the political team realizing that this is an issue that Americans care about, that some of the ballot initiatives to raise the minimum wage or to add paid vacation or paid sick leave, these are the sorts of things that will remind voters to come out and vote, to come out and vote for Democrats, remind voters why Democrats actually are different some of the time from Republicans. But it's a day late and a dollar short. So that was the point of the piece that I wrote in Huffington.
So, Robert Kuttner, in terms of what can the president do, which you've mentioned in the article, it would seem that what is obvious is the enormous difference between presidential turnout and midterm turnout. It's almost twice as much in a presidential turnout. In 2008, 140 million voted, and Obama and the Democrats swept all branches of government. And then 2 years later, only 75 million voted, and the Republicans won handily. And I imagine this time around in 2014, they have a better ground game. They've learned from what happened to them in Ohio, and they'll have unlimited money. So what is Obama going to do about turnout?
Well, it isn't just Obama, but he and the Democrats need to nationalize the election, meaning turn it into a referendum on which party cares more about regular people. And these wage issues, income issues, 1% issues, all of that stuff helps. Republicans are going to cut your Social Security. They're going to cut your Medicare. Republicans have a tax reform plan that's really more tax relief for the rich, and they're going to, you know, get rid of some of the preferences that actually help regular people, like the homeowner deduction. One of the ways to get turnout up in a midterm is to try and create real difference between the two parties and remind voters that that's there. And, you know, Newt Gingrich did this in the midterm of 1994, where Clinton, in his first 2 years, overreached on his health reform, and Gingrich came out with a contract with America and sold it as something that could help regular people and really whacked Clinton. So occasionally you do find a case of a midterm election that demonstrates differences between the two parties, plays to the advantage of one party or another. The problem is that more often than not, it's the out party that uses that strategy against an incumbent president. It's hard to think of a time when an incumbent president used it against the out party, except in really unusual circumstances. One that comes to mind is the first midterm election when Roosevelt had been president for 2 years in 1934. But, of course, Roosevelt was phenomenally popular at that point, and Obama isn't. So if the president is a lead weight on the rest of the ticket, it's kind of hard.
Again, I'm speaking with Robert Kuttner, who is a co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect. He was formerly an assistant to the legendary I.F. Stone, a chief investigator for the Senate Banking Committee, and for 20 years wrote a column for Business Week. Robert Kuttner is the author of nine books, including his latest, Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity versus Possibility, and he has an article at the Huffington Post, The Democrats' Obama Problem. Well, what Obama said recently, though, when he said that the Democrats are lazy, I mean, he was making it sound like the Democrats had a Democrat problem, that he had a problem with them. So what did he mean by that, and what has been the response from the Democrats in the House and Senate?
Well, I don't know that the Democrats are lazy. I think Obama hasn't been tough enough on all of these pocketbook issues, and it's not very good to get the president and members of his party into a dogfight with each other. I mean, there was also kind of a lot of sloppy political work. I mean, Obama, for the most part, has appointed relatively centrist people, so he decides in an election year when several Democrats are running in very conservative states trying to hold on to their seats to make a really terrific appointment of a very progressive Assistant Attorney General for civil rights, who then became a lightning rod for conservative Democrats, and seven Democrats voted against him, so he didn't get confirmed. Well, I'm always for appointing progressives, but you know, the time to appoint this guy would have been 2 years ago, and maybe be a little more prudent in an election year so that you don't shoot yourself in the foot. The same thing with the fellow that he appointed to be Surgeon General. This is a guy who's been very outspoken on the need for gun control as a public health measure, and predictably, Democrats in conservative states like Montana and West Virginia, where people love their guns, you know, voted against the guy. So it's a combination of sloppy political work and not being tough enough on the pocketbook issues. So it's a bit much for him to then turn around and blame other Democrats. The congressional wing of the Democratic Party, with a few exceptions, since the beginning of the Obama administration, has been more of a progressive party than the presidential wing, and that's because Obama got into bed with Wall Street and the appointments that he made on key economic positions, and then also, even though the Republicans keep eating his lunch, he continued to be Mr. Conciliator. He continued to be Mr. Budget Austerity, and it just doesn't work. People don't vote for those policies.
Well, I think they also, as you mentioned earlier, that he's got the impression or the reputation of being somewhat feckless and bending over to being too conciliatory. What about taking the gloves off? I mean, Harry Reid appears to be taking the gloves off because he knows that the Koch brothers are desperately, they'll pour any amount of money in order to get Mitch McConnell to be the next majority leader so that he'll do their bidding.
Right.
So why not take a cue from Harry Reid?
Well, because that's not who Obama is. I mean, Harry Reid is an alley cat. He's a fighter. He, you know, you don't get elected in a place like Nevada as a progressive Democrat unless you're a real fighter. And Harry Reid's been great. I mean, Harry Reid was the guy who finally pulled the plug on the Republican filibuster and helped Obama actually get people through. So it's partly ideological, Ian, and it's partly temperamental. He's a centrist Democrat. He's not a fighter. And what Democrats need, what ordinary working Americans need, is somebody who's a fighter for regular people. So I worry that, all of us are going to die for his sins, in the sense that if he is such a drag on the ticket that Democrats lose control of the Senate, then nothing happens for the next 2.5 years. And it's not really clear who that sets up to be in better shape for the 2016 elections. But it means that these problems, these economic problems that really hurt ordinary Americans, just continue to fester, and Republicans continue to use Obama as a pinata.
But surely he has a dog in this fight. He'll be an early lame duck. Doesn't he have every reason to want to keep a Democratic majority in the Senate?
Yeah, sure. And that's why you see these gestures like, let's have the Labor Department crack down on failure to pay overtime, and let's have a higher minimum wage. So it's like a watchdog who's been asleep, who sort of sleepily opens one eye. And it's better than nothing. But the average person who, sees billionaires making out like bandits, whose neighborhood property values are being dragged down by the continuing foreclosure crisis in poor neighborhoods, who hasn't gotten a raise, whose job is insecure, maybe who's working two or three jobs, the average person who maybe had a really bad experience trying to sign up for the Affordable Care Act, looks at these gestures and says to himself or herself, is that really going to make a difference in my life? Maybe I'm just better off voting for the Republicans because the Republicans are going to cut my taxes. And that's the bind that Obama has gotten himself into and that he's puts Democrats into. And so if you have somebody running in a place like West Virginia or Montana or North Carolina, Arkansas, Louisiana, conservative states where a Democrat who really works hard for ordinary people can win a seat, and Obama is kind of an embarrassment, what do you do? Do you attack your president? Do you kind of swallow hard and support your president? Do you try and say, elect me and I'll pressure the White House to fix Obamacare? He puts his own party in a really tough position.
So what do you make, Robert Kuttner, of the Republicans suddenly going silent on the Affordable Care Act? It's been their obsession. They voted the Congress over 40 times, voted to repeal it. They've been beating the drum on this forever, and now they've gone silent. And I've heard strategists suggest that the Republicans are waiting for it to implode because they think that middle-class people are going to be affected by the rise in price, that so far it's helped the uninsured and the poor, and that there's going to be a huge backlash to it. I've been trying to look for evidence of that. I've had some anecdotal evidence from people who've said that their policies have gone up and they're not happy about it. But is there something to that, do you think, Robert?
I'm not sure they've gone totally silent. It's certainly in a lot of Republican advertising, a lot of TV spots against Democrats. They used it in the Florida race. Pundits made a great deal of the fact that when the Republican claimed victory, the Republican didn't mention Obamacare specifically, but I think that's a blip. And I do think that as premiums go up, some of which is not the result of Obamacare. I mean, premiums have been going up as employers have shifted costs to employees. Deductibles and copays have gone up as employers have shifted payroll costs to employees. But it gets blamed on Obamacare. So I think they're going to continue to whack away at it. unfortunately, you know, this is an era when people are used to going on the Internet and buying something from Amazon or from whoever, and it's very easy. And the smartest entrepreneurs in American capitalism spend a lot of effort figuring out how to make transactions on the Internet very easy, and then they come upon the, you know, healthcare.gov website, and it's like it was invented by idiots, and it confirms the suspicions of a lot of people who don't like government anyway, that you couldn't organize, you couldn't trust the government to organize a two-car funeral. So this is another albatross. I don't think it was just the rollout, by the way. I think this was a Rube Goldberg contraption. I think the whole thing was much too complicated in conception and design, and so a bungled rollout was almost inevitable because it was so damn complicated. That's why single payer would work a lot better. So all these chickens are coming home to roost, and I'm sure the Republicans are going to hang this around the necks of Democrats in the fall campaign.
So then, you know, you have this anomaly in American politics where you have one party, the minority party, who are always able to get almost every last one of their people out to vote, and they're very good at suppressing the likely Democratic voters, and they're working overtime on that. And then you've got the other party that has a natural majority but fails to inspire its people to turn up. So just in closing, is there anything out there that you think, apart from something that may happen, either fortuitously to work for the Democrats or...
Yeah, I think Obama may be facing a near-death experience in terms of his final 2 years as a pathetic lame duck, could have a kind of conversion experience and start sounding like a real progressive. You know, there's that famous line of Winston Churchill's that you can always count on Americans to do the right thing after they've tried everything else, and I think that's a good description of Obama. So, you know, let's see if he has a near-death experience and starts doing the right thing.
Well, Robert Kuttner, I thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Kuttner, who is co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect. He was formerly an assistant to the legendary I.F. Stone, a chief investigator for the Senate Banking Committee, and for 20 years wrote a column for Business Week. Robert Kuttner is the author of 9 books, including his latest, Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity Versus Possibility, and he has an article at the Huffington Post, The Democrats' Obama Problem. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time will have